Oh, there we go. I never remember which way is forward and which way isn't backward on these buttons. I should know by now. How long have I been here? Too long. That might be part of the problem. Well, it's always lovely to get to speak at my own church. It's always lovely when I get to speak at any church. But I get more smiles here, which is nice. And that's even before I've started. We'll see if they're all still there when I finish. I thought I should start because I look around the room now, and there's a lot of people here who weren't here a couple of years ago. So a lot of people probably have no idea who I am. So I thought I'd give you a bit of a preview, a bit of an overview. And some of my kids are in the room, so they're probably really embarrassed about this. So I'm Rick Broom, husband of Leanne, father of Natalie, who lives in Adelaide, Emily, Rebecca, and Josiah, father-in-law of Daniel, Mickey, Warren, and Zee, and granddad of Chloe, Eliza, Nathan, and Avery. At least some of the background noise you're going to have is the responsibility of some of those people. But hey, kids are meant to be noisy. So that's who I fit in context. So this is me in a snapshot. Grew up in Bankstown, good old southwest Sydney, the home of the drive-by shooting. Moved to Central Coast in 1994, born into a Methodist church, which became a uniting church. Went to Boys Brigade in an Anglican church, married a Baptist. Have been part of Calvary Chapel, C3, COC, CLC, Salvos, Home Churches, Independent, and currently Coast Community Church, Tumby. You may get from that I don't really get denominationalism. I just don't. Gave my life to Christ as a 12-year-old, spent my high school years trying to work out how to be a Christian and how to still be a cool person at school. Didn't go all that well. So at 18, recommitted my life in the 1979 Billy Graham Crusade in Sydney. Trainee computer programmer with the Reserve Bank from 1979. Yes, I'm a geek. Card carrying. I've doubled up on there. Married in 1984 to the same wife I'm still married to now. 40 years this year. Quite amazing. And we're still loving each other. That's great. 1987, spent 6 months down in Goulburn and Melbourne with YWAM doing our DTS, our Discipleship Training School. 1995, I left the Reserve Bank, and I can tell you literally, 16 years, I did get a silver pen. It wasn't even a gold pen, it was a silver pen. To be a freelance software developer, which is a business that I still sort of run now, although I've run it down to one client, who I had a meeting with on Friday to try and opt out of that one over the next couple of years. Can't believe they're running a 20-year-old software system. Anyway, 2002, I became one of the founding board of Rema Gosford, as it was then, now Rema Central Coast, because we decided we do love Wyong as well. And 2005, I was appointed the general manager, and have been there, obviously, ever since. When I spoke, which is roughly 12 months ago, last gave you an update on Rema, it was all about the journey of getting into our new building at West Gosford, Rema Central. So I'm not going to bore you with that story again, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about what Rema Central looks like now and what's coming out of that place. So that's sort of the frontage and looking at the interior. We have there our main studio with Isabel behind the desk, and our secondary studio there with a couple of our team doing some recording. This is a couple of spaces we have within the premises. The one on the left there is what we call our edit suite. One of the primary purposes of that room is podcasts, to facilitate the development and recording and designing of podcasts. And that's something that really only within the last 12 months has started to take off. So that's something we are using internally, but it's also a vehicle and a tool and a facility available to outside organisations, to pastors, to ministries. We've got someone looking at it if they want to record an audio book. So we're providing that kind of service to our community. Now, for people that are making commercial gain out of their venture, then we charge rent for that space. But if they're coming in to do something that's just a ministry kind of thing, then it's a service we provide free of charge. And we can help with the editing and all that kind of stuff as well. The room on the right is what's called our production suite. It lives between our two studios. It's also an area where we can pre-record announcer shifts and things like that. Top left is a room that has become known as the counselling room because there's a domestic violence counselling service that use that space currently one day a week, moving up to 2 days a week because it's sadly a much needed service within our community. Bit of a hospitality area in the middle, and down the right is what we call our hubs. So we work on an open plan kind of system where no one has an office except me. I didn't want one, but I had to have one apparently. Apparently the boss has got to have an office. But that's again space where we have people from time to time, maybe they're people that work from home or whatever, and they just need to get out of the house and they need to have somewhere where they can work, where there's decent internet and they can make themselves a cup of tea or coffee. So we make that space available. Again, same thing. If it's a commercial venture, they pay a bit of rent, nominal amount. But if they're just studying or whatever, it's a free thing. Oops. One of the latest developments is some of you would have, if you've ever visited our premises or heard much on air, we've had this large space upstairs in our front area that we've been looking for a sublessee for. This place costs us a lot more than the old place. The rent's a lot higher, the running costs are a lot higher. So we had an area that we were able to say, well, we can sublet this out and recoup some of that and help cover some of our costs. And right now, that area is being developed. The guys are in there yesterday painting. So we've got a business/ministry called Beyond Disability Support. You can sort of pretty much figure what they're about. They're a disability support provider. So they're sort of joining our family in a way, in that they're sharing our space. So that's being developed now. So that will help, and that'll start in the next couple of months, helping us cover some of our costs, which is great. A couple of great people, Kevin and Cara Tune, who run that ministry, and part of the adventure. So that's where we've got to with Rema Central. So while it is the home of Rema Central Coast, it's much more than that. It really, from our perspective, it's a hub for Christian ministry on the coast. We want to make it available to anyone in ministry and more broadly as a media resource so we can help, we can train. We're taking some young people in that we're training. We're starting to do internships for media. So just really a resource for the body of Christ on the coast. It's all very nice. But why does it really matter? It's great to have a good facility. It's great to have resources. But resources are only resources. They're not the end product. They're not the goal. They're not the result where we're trying to get to. Because you have to bring scripture in. Otherwise, it's not an official message. But that's good. I want to share this verse, 1 Corinthians 2, 1-5. And when I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come as someone superior in speaking ability or wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I also with you in weakness and fear and in great trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of mankind, but the power of God. I want to claim that, because I'm not coming to you with superior words of wisdom or anything like that, but I'm just coming with a message, with what I believe is a word from Christ. So the significant bit is that, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You can look at something like Rema Central, you can look at all the equipment and all the resources and all the people and all the stuff. But if it's not about that, it's a clanging cymbal. It's a sounding gong with no purpose. As Christians, as the church, and Rema is part of the church, what Mike shared today, actually, when someone first said that to me several years ago now about, you know, you pastor the biggest church on the coast, I was terrified. I don't want that responsibility. But I see it more as we serve the whole church. We're a voice. We're a megaphone for the church. But the message is really simple. The message is Jesus. It's not complicated. Oops, back. It's not complicated. Look, it even says it. This is basically the gospel. Well, this is the commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's the commission that Christ gave us. That's not complicated. We make it so complicated. Go and make disciples of all nations. Important thing there. The good news is for everyone. It's not just for the people that you like. It's not just for the nice people that walk into the buildings. It's for everyone, all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. There's no secret Christians. There shouldn't be secret Christians. Given the context, if you live in China, you may want to be a little bit quiet about some of the external activities. But be prepared to make a public declaration. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And what did he command us? When he was asked, what are the commandments? Love the Lord your God, love your neighbor. Again, it's not complicated. It's not hard. You don't need to go to theological college to learn how to be a Christian. You don't need to study Genesis 1 to Revelation 24-ish to know how to be a Christian. Those things all help. And if you're called to particular areas of ministry and service, yeah, by all means, do it. But if you can love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and if you do that, loving your neighbor will just happen, then that's pretty much all you need to do. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And you know, that's actually part of the good news. That's not just his sort of, oh, and by the way. It's like, part of the good news is that he is actually with us. He's not saying, go, 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 go do it. He's saying, come, let's do it. And so we need to be aware that part of the message is that his presence is with us. I'll let you read that. It might surprise you to notice today there are not too many people knocking on the doors of churches looking for Jesus. There's just not. Some, yes. Sometimes they actually come looking, and within this premises we've seen that. We have them come in through the cafe and then they ask some questions. And Steph actually shared something with me, and I hope she doesn't mind me sharing this. As I was setting up the back and putting out some stuff, one of the things I put out is Fresh, which is our daily devotional. And she commented that there was a lady she met in the cafe this week who, because I have a couple of Fresh out there as well, picked up a Fresh and sort of said, oh, so you guys are part of a church. And as Steph shared, I'm not sure how I felt about that. Is that a good thing? Or is it not such a good thing? And I think you could go either way with that. It's kind of good that there's not a, oh, it's a church barrier. But maybe we need to think more about how we're using that funnel, that it's a more obvious entry point. Yes, agree with that, Kristen? One thing will probably help when we've got the new frontage on the building, some signage, which I know is in the plan. But I'm kind of okay with the fact that she couldn't tell it was a church, as long as she felt loved in the place. Yet we also know that today, more than ever, people are looking for answers. And we know that those answers that they're looking for can only be found in Jesus. There's a lot of questions. You hit social media and there's a lot of questions. A lot of people troubled, concerned, worried, anxious. And a lot of that stuff's to do with questions. Questions of identity. Who am I? What am I? Questions of purpose. Why am I? What am I here for? What am I meant to be doing? Questions of security. It's not a safe world at the moment. On a personal level, on an international level, on an environmental level. There's actually no answers to that other than what Jesus offers. So how do we resolve this dilemma? We go. If people aren't knocking on our doors, maybe we need to go to where they are. Kudos to the team who are deciding on this community lunches and our coffee group that are going to be meeting and helping lonely people, and for everything that happens out in the cafe, and for everything that Nurture Me is doing. We can't expect people to come looking for the good news. We should be out there with it. Now, I'm not an evangelist. That's not my gifting. And there's nothing more uncomfortable for me than, street witnessing or door knocking or that kind of stuff. It's not my wheelhouse. It's not where I operate. And I don't think that's what we need to be doing. But we need to be Jesus. We need to be in our settings, in our environments, in our businesses, in our schools, in our interactions, in the supermarket. But how do we do that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We all know that scripture. And you can spend months studying that and what that means. The word used there is logos. The Greek word logos refers principally to the total inspired word to God and to Jesus, who is the living logos. So it's basically what we would call the Bible, scripture. It's what we have, the written word of God. And Jesus, we are told Jesus is the living word of God. And they use the same word, logos. But there's another word. That word's rhema. Rhema is the spoken word of God. It's often a verse or a portion of scripture that the Holy Spirit brings to our attention with application to a current situation or need for direction. So it's not one particular scripture, but it's something out of scripture or the spoken word of God that comes to us to minister to us in a circumstance for a particular purpose. You're reading through the Bible, you're doing your daily reading or whatever, and something goes bang. Slaps you in the forehead. It's God speaking to you about a particular issue that you're dealing with. That's a rhema word of God. Or you're in prayer and God drops something on you, and you have no doubt in your mind that this is God prompting you. That's a rhema word of God. So it really fits well with what Christian radio is. We should be the rhema. We should be the spoken word of God. And we've had testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony. We've been on air full-time 20 years this coming October. The number of testimonies we have is ridiculous. And Eben's been involved beyond prior to that, and we snaffled him about 10 years ago from Rhema Newcastle, and he can share stories as well where people have rung in and written in, emailed in and said, I just happened to turn the radio on and this song happened to come on that spoke exactly to my situation, down to where the song has contained the person's name. And it happens once or twice, you think, oh, what a coincidence. It happens 20, 30, 40 times, you go, nah. We're actually not programming this station, God is. He's engineering things, he's making it happen. So we have a message, pretty straightforward, it's Jesus. We have a mission, and that's to go, and we have a method, his word. So, good 3-point sermon idea, all met up there. So, we need to bring Jesus into every situation we enter. that doesn't have to be awkward or uncomfortable. It's not like, you know, someone comes up and says, oh, I'm having this really bad day, you know, the lawnmower broke and this sort of stuff. You know what you need? You need me to pray for you. Let's go lay hands on your lawnmower. Maybe. Probably not. But maybe it's, look, borrow my lawnmower. Or, you know, I can help you get it fixed or something. Bringing Jesus in doesn't mean necessarily preaching. It doesn't necessarily mean getting all weird. Sorry, but Christians tend to get weird at times. We do. We need to live it instead of just talking it. But we do need to speak it. But we can speak it in words and actions. You know, there's a way you can bring it in without it being awkward and uncomfortable. Particularly when they ask why. Particularly if people say, take an example in a cafe where you do the whole pay it forward thing. I know we do that here at Better Days. We went into Lee and I were up at Foster a couple of weeks ago, and we walked into a fish and chip shop, as you do. We're getting our prawn and hot chip rolls, as you do. And they had a board up where you could pay for an extra meal, an extra something, small chips or whatever, pin it up on the board, and they got a sign, if you need something, just come and take it off the board. And fantastic. I got no idea if those guys were Christian or not, but tell you what, they were being Jesus. You know, it's just a fantastic thing. Such an easy thing to do. So I want to show a video clip, which is a song. It's a song we should be familiar with by now because we've actually done it as part of our praise and worship at times. But I want you to concentrate on the words, partly so you'll hear it now, but also so next time that Phil or someone brings it, it may have a greater depth of meaning as well. So I'm not sure if that'll start. It will start itself. Can we get some audio? Hang on. We've lost our sound guy. Let me go back a bit. It's all right. He's up. Are we good? Here we go. Turn it up. Oh, no. You do not want that. Try again. There we go.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Your name is high.
Do we believe that? That his name is power? His name is healing? Do we believe that if we bring Jesus into a situation, it will change that situation? That it can bring healing, it can bring release from captivity, release from depression, release from anxiety? Because there's a lot of that in our society. There's a lot of those problems. But it needs to come from our deep inner confidence that it actually makes a difference. And that's what we try to do at Rhema. Yes, we try to play great music. Yes, we try to have great teaching programs. We try to have announcers that bring something funny or witty or just a little bit weird or a little bit offbeat, a little bit different. We try to get out and do outside broadcasts. We try to do Bunnings barbecues. We try to do all this stuff. But really what we're trying to do is speak Jesus. Because our society needs it. Our people need it. How do you and I live that in our daily lives? It's pretty simple. None of this is complicated. We speak Jesus in everything we say, and we show Jesus in everything we do. So, look, you know, no pressure. Does it mean they've always got to be on task, on mission? Not if that puts pressure on you. Not if you can't, if you feel that that means you're going to never set foot outside your door. But if you spend time with him, whether that's in scripture, whether that's in prayer, whether it's just sitting in his presence, whether that's soaking and listening to some music, whatever it is, if you spend that time, when you walk out the door, you will reflect him. And you won't be able to help it. You got to trust he will bring people across your path. We don't need to orchestrate it. Let him do that. But have your antenna up. Have your listening ears on, as we say to our grandkids. Have you got your listening ears on? Because he will bring opportunity to you. And that opportunity may be as simple as buying someone a cup of coffee. It may be more complicated, it may be deeper, it may be putting your arm around someone who's deep in grief, but saying nothing. It may be sharing a little bit of your journey. I can't tell you what it is for you. I can't tell you how it will happen or when it will happen or where it will happen. I have enough trouble working that out for myself. So I would not presume to be your Holy Spirit. But you have one. You have him dwelling within you. Trust his leading. Trust his guidance. It's something we try to do as a ministry, and believe me, it's harder to do as a ministry than as an individual, is to sense the leading of the Holy Spirit and work out where you go next and what you do today and what you do this year. But it's not that different. But it's what we need to be trying to do. And please don't hear that this should be a burdensome thing. It's a daily walk with Christ. And let him work it out. He says clearly in Scripture, lift him up and he will draw men. So as you lift him up in your life, in how you react to people, how you smile at the checkout lady, how you don't blow your horn at that person who just cut in on you. Sorry, God. Just how you react in your day-to-day interactions, that is living Jesus. And we're going to get it wrong some days, but that's okay. There's plenty of grace. There's plenty of grace in God's kingdom, thankfully. So that's pretty much all I had to say. I like to finish on a smile because, you know, I like to have a room full of smiles, and at least I've got one. So, yeah, Michael. We are up the back. Evan, our music and program director, is up the back, and my wonderful wife and partner, Leanne, are up the back. Love to answer any questions you've got. later on.
I was just about to say the same thing. Leanne and Evan, would you be able to come up the front as a church? And if you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to stay seated, that's perfectly fine too. But we're going to pray for these guys as part of a ministry of our church, but also because they're awesome. Pray for the... I know you didn't hear it, and I know you didn't say it, but sometimes ministries have burdens, right? Pray for the burden of the ministry that they hold. And we're going to hold that with you guys, if that's all right.